Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Make certain comments just a few little while ago. We are living in probably the most critical time in world history, not only just the church history, but world history. If we don't speak truth to power, millions are going to be lost. I'm going to help you with some word today, but also with some history. Because since a lot of folks don't know the history of the church or the history of the world, we fail to really grasp the importance of the time that we are living in. We have been told that we should not hurt anybody's feeling and that we should be okay with other people's views and ideas and not denigrate them. But that is not the history of the church. The church started out with a young man named Stephen being stoned to death because he spoke truth to power. He spoke truth to the religious world at that time. We see the apostles being beaten and told, you can preach in any name you want to, but do not preach in the name of Yeshua. And they whipped them and sent them away. But the apostle said, what can we do? We serve God. What can we do but speak the truth? Shaul was beaten many times with rods and with whips. He was stoned and left for dead because he spoke truth to folks who did not want to hear truth. So today I'm going to speak truth. I have been saved 50 years, and I have not seen such a critical time in the church and in society that I am seeing now. So I don't ask you to excuse me. I'm just going to tell you what the facts are. And, you know, some people are not going to like it. That's okay. Because most people don't want you to tell the truth on them. You know what I mean? So I'm going to start out, and I am going to read a couple of scriptures. And I'm not exegeting these scriptures totally. I'm just simply setting up the foundation for what I am really going to talk about. And let's start in Netanyahu. Some of you and some other people have wondered, why do he have to do all this Hebrew stuff? Because you can't know what the truth is unless you go to the root of truth. The Bible came through the Yehudim, which we call sometimes the Hebrew, and we mistakenly call the Jew. For there is no such thing as the Jew. I know we call people Jew, but there is no way to even speak that name in Hebrew. How many of you knew that? You can't say Jew in Hebrew. There's no such way to do that. So if you don't learn a little Hebrew, you are left ignorant like most of the society is today. And so the church world runs rampant with all different kinds of ideas. And all of them are going to heaven, even though we are serving one God. But this God is allowing everybody to invent anything they want to invent and still get to heaven. If you think that is true, then you don't know what truth is. So Netanyahu, the 11th chapter, the 10th verse. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. This is a message from Yeshayahu, which is saying, who is speaking of the prophet Yohanan the Baptist. 11th verse. Verily I say unto you, this is Yeshua speaking, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than Yohanan the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven, and let me correct that, the kingdom of the translators sometimes interchange the kingdom of heaven with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven has not come yet. The kingdom of heaven is when Yeshua rules and reigns on earth, which we call the millennial kingdom. When heaven rules on earth, the millennial kingdom is not here yet. What he's talking about here is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Every one of you who are baptized in the Holy Ghost is in the kingdom. And so this is what he's talking about here. And he says, he that is least in the kingdom of Yahweh is greater than he. This is making a very profound statement. You all who are in the kingdom of God, you're greater than Yohanan the Baptist, because you are a new species. You are a new creation. You are created anew in Mashiach Yeshua. And sometimes we don't recognize that. We think we are the same old people. We went in the water the same old person. We came out the same old person. But the Bible truth is that any man or woman who is in Mashiach Yeshua is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So Yeshua said, you who are least in the kingdom is greater than Yohanan the Baptist. And Yohanan the Baptist issued in the coming of Yeshua. We need to know who we are, because some of you are living beneath your privilege. Some of you are living like the devil, But you say you're in the kingdom. I'm not accusing nobody. I'm just saying. 12th verse. And from the days of Johannan the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. As a young minister, when I read this, I could not understand this. I could not understand it because it said the violence took the kingdom by force. Now, there are those in the theological area who will say, well, it meant that another scripture says he presses his way in and that the violence. I don't buy that. It means exactly what it said. If you can handle this, he's saying there will come a time that the kingdom will be covered. And the idea here is violent men will take the kingdom by force. They can't destroy the kingdom, but they can, through their obfuscation, meaning confusion and lies, they will cover the kingdom that men could not see. Let's move on. Yehuda, which you call someone, you call him Jew. Third verse. Beloved, meaning those who are loved by God. How many of you knew that God loves you? So when he say beloved, he mean those who are loved by God. I'm loved by God. You're loved by God. You're in the kingdom. You're God's beloved. When I gave all diligence, when I gave all diligence, spude, earnest zeal, to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful. Other words, I came to a point where rather than writing to you about our common salvation, it was an emergency that occurred that I'll have to write to you something else. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, encourage you, that you should earnestly, instantly, fervently become a fighter or contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints. It said once, but the true translation, once and for all. There will not be a new faith delivered again. The faith that was delivered to the apostles is the only faith we are going to get. You cannot invent another faith. This is a once and for all faith that was delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware. Other words, this has the idea of a serpent climbing up on the side. He said there are certain men. Now this is back in Yehuda's time. But he's prophesying to the future. There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. ungodly men, turning the grace of Yahweh into lasciviousness and denying the only Yahweh Elohim and our Yeshua Mashiach. And so here's the message. There are certain men that crept into the church. These men, when he says condemnation of old, it simply means that they were convicted before the world began and sentenced to eternal hell's fire before they ever came. Because these were ungodly men that Satan had set up in order to destroy the faith. And so rather than coming in at the door, they came over the side like a snake. And what they did, they taught that the grace of God was so extreme that you could do whatever you want to do, and God has enough grace to forgive you. I guess today they call it extreme faith. Huh? Back in my time, they call it once in, never out. But they taught them that they could sin because God has grace. And there are some people who still buy into this. If you can sin because of the grace of God, then what need was there for grace? I don't need grace to sin. I was sinning before grace ever came. Now, I'm going to read this to you in the Washington translation. You say, how can he do that? Because I studied. Beloved, when I gave all zeal to write unto you of our salvation, it became necessary for me to write unto you and urge you that you should fervently become a forceful fighter for the faith, which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men that entered like a serpent on the side, escaping notice, who were of old appointed, judged and convicted to damnation, to hell. Ungodly men, turning the grace, the unmerited favor of Yahweh into unrestricted lust and shameful action, and denying the name of Yahweh and of Yahweh. Sure. Ooh. Let's turn to Titus. I'm just setting this. You know, I might not get any further than this today. But if Pastor Tom Terry, I'll be back next week. Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works or in deed, they deny him, being abominable, or the word full of disgusting actions. The word would be, maybe, ain't no sense in me trying to give it to you, because you can't pronounce it, and I can't hardly hide it myself. But in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work a reprobate. No matter what work you put up that is good work, Reprobate means they have been rejected by God. They haven't done a thing that will approve them to God. They have been rejected. 1 Timothy 4. And then we'll get to our history lesson. 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressively, meaning definitely, that in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines or teachings of devils. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Conscience is that inner spirit man that knows right from wrong, who feels guilt and shame. And the seared mean he's taken from a wound, an open wound. Naturally. And they used to take a hot iron and place it on the wound so that that wound would become impervious to germs. Once it seals over, it becomes impervious to germs getting in. How many of you have watched some old cowboy movies and saw that? That's serious. So what has happened, that inner spirit man that will tell you what's right or what's wrong can't receive nothing anymore. It's been seared with a hot iron. What these writers saw, they saw the church being covered over with confusion and lies by ungodly men who could not destroy the church from without, got in and propagated all of this evil stuff. I'm going to talk to you about a man called Athanasius and a man called Arius. And we're going to go back to 325 AD to a council called the Nicene Council. These people in 325 AD, who are called the Roman Church and the Church of the Byzantine, don't have any of the truth of the apostle. But these are called sometimes the father of the faith. And there's a disagreement between Arius and Athanasius on who God is and who Yeshua is. But they didn't call him Yeshua. They just say Christ. Athanasius' view was that God and Christ are co-equal in substance and in power, and therefore they came up with the doctrine of the Trinity. Meaning that there are three distinct separate gods residing in one Godhead, but they have agreed to agree. Now you figure that out. You can't get three men to agree. And gods who are surely omnipotent and all powerful, what they say, if they are God, is correct. How could they agree with another God who says something else? But anyway, that's called the Trinity. That was developed in this day in the Council of Nicaea. And Arius believed that Christ was of a lower order. He was created later, so he cannot be of the same substance or be co-equal with God. That he's of a lower order. And so this fight is on between Athanasius and Arius, and folks are even being killed because of these two different doctrines. And up stepped Constantine, the emperor of a portion of Rome. And Constantine stepped into the conflict, and he convened the Council of Nicaea. And what he did, he merged the government with the church, because the people were glad because he supported their part. He supported what they thought was right. He united the church and the state. Now, all of the truth, most of the truth, has already been lost. This developed, because of this, is where the Catholic Church spun out of, from, which plunged Europe into 1,200 years of darkness. Any of you who have studied history, it's called the Dark Ages, where they fought over simple stuff like whether the world is round or square. The church said the world was square because the Bible said the four corners of the earth. Galileo, while scientists said the world is round, so they put him in jail and eventually killed him. Monks traveling through the land, burning people at the stake because they don't believe like they want them. The worst government in the world is a religious government. I would never want to be under a religious government, because religious folks without God are the most hateful, the meanest, the cruelest people in the world, because they are killing you or oppressing you in God's stead to make you believe like they believe. And now today, we're at that same juncture. Up steps Trump. And the conservative evangelicals, who through their race hate and their resistance to abortion, have allowed Trump to bring them into the state. Now the so-called church and the government is together. There is no evil that they will not go along with. There is no lies that they will not go along with. The conservative evangelicals have sold their soul to Satan, and there is no redemption for them. They are too far gone. Oh, you mean that? They support every evil that you can think about. They are the ones who are standing in the arena saying, send them back. Those are evangelicals. They're the ones who allow lies to be spewed. They're the ones that would go along with a man raping and abusing women because they get done what they want to get done, that is, maintain the hate and maintain. And abortion is like that good thing, the good thing, you know, that good thing they got. God has never told us to get involved in government in a sense that we're going to try to change the world by government. You can't change the world. The world belongs to Satan. Satan is the god of this world. What we do, we go into the world and bring folks out of the world into another world called the kingdom of God. And we, the Bible say, are citizens of the kingdom. That this world is not our home. That we are citizens of the kingdom. Yet, they say that they know God. Yohanan said, if you say you love God and hate your brother, you are a liar and you do not know how to tell the truth. For any man who loves God would love his brother also. This is not popular. But if we don't speak this truth, a lot of people will think that these conservative evangelicals is of God. But they are of a white God. Okay, you just don't get mad. They are a white God. A white God that wants to make America great again. Now, Yeshua, as we saw, understood that there would come a time when this evilness of so-called religion would cover the faith. And he spoke up. He said, since Yohanan the Baptist, and if you know anything about Yohanan the Baptist, Herod took his head. He said, the kingdom has suffered violence. And the violence taketh it by force. And we see Athanasius, Arius, arguing over something that had already been established by the apostle. It is unquestionable that the apostles believed that Yeshua was God. God in the flesh. And Yohanan said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was in God. It's written with, that's not true. Was in God. And the same was in the beginning in God and in him. Now, all things was created by him and was not anything that was created. Anything that is created, how do you put it? Well, let me. Ain't no sense in me. I know this perfectly, but Satan started trying to snatch my remembrance. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was in God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning in God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the Word that was in God created the worlds. And then he goes on to say about the fourth day birth, and the Word put on human flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so here, Athanasius and Arius both are wrong. Because you know what they are? They're supposed to be theologians, but they have no basis in Hebrew. They have no basis in the apostles' doctrine. This is a church that spun the Catholic Church. I know a man got in trouble a few years ago for teaching this. But you know, he was one of these famous pastors. And if you're famous, you're not allowed to tell the truth. Since I'm not famous, ain't nobody going to pay any attention to me telling the truth. It don't matter. It's just that little old so-called apostle over there got just about 10 people. Doesn't matter. But they both was wrong. And since Yeshua knew this, and the apostles knew this, they took great pain to lay down for us the truth of the gospel. And the only way you can go wrong, I'll tell you that later. But let's go to Yohanan. Yohanan, the 17th chapter. Now, in the 17th chapter, Yeshua is preparing to leave here. And so he is laying down for us the truths that we should follow. So let's start the first verse. There's no sense in going. These words spake Yeshua and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. The word for glorify is doxa. And it simply means making known the attributes and the power of someone. And so Yeshua said, glorify, he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Let the world know who the Son is. Let the world know that the Son is God in the flesh. And when you do that, I will glorify you and let the world know who you are. Knowledge is what saves us. And I'm not talking about school knowledge. I'm talking about knowledge of the word. Now he goes on to say, as thou hast given him power, talking about himself, over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. Everybody say that with me. And this is life eternal. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, he's going to reveal to you life eternal. See, we have to read the Bible like we believe it. If Yeshua said, this is life eternal, our spiritual ears should perk up. Because we're going to receive a revelation about eternal life. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Yeshua Mashiach, whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal. That they may know thee, the only true God, and Yeshua Mashiach, whom he has sent. You cannot be saved unless you have knowledge of who it is that saved you and who they are and what responsibilities they have in regard to salvation. We got so many people in the church that sit there when the preaching is going on, they're looking at their phone. They will never know him. When you know someone, you know everything about them. And no one can trick you. I'll give you a little example that don't amount to this. But years ago, there was a controversy. And some people left the church. That's when I was a pastor. So don't look around at Pastor Tom, because a few folks took off. They took off when I was a pastor. And y'all know I'm true. Y'all know I'm right. But I thought they knew. But like I said, a lot of people look at their phone, answering their texts. They don't have a knowledge of God. They don't know him. And yet when you talk to them, they know everything. But everything they know is stupid. I'm not trying to be funny. But how can you know God and not know what it means to be saved and how you are saved and what saved means to everybody? There's no way to do that. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Yeshua Mashiach, whom thou hast. Yeah, years ago, we didn't know Yeshua. Now we know the person, but we didn't know the name because of the obfuscation, the confusion, and the lies that was set way back there in Athanasius' time and in Arius' time that was then built upon by the Catholic Church, who then would make the Pope the vicar, God's man on earth. He was like God on earth. Killing people. Putting them on the stake and stretching them until their bones get out of joint. Burning them in fire. This was this church of Athanasius and Arius. 1,200 years, the world was in darkness. I mean, religious darkness, even natural darkness. Like I say, they're fighting over whether the world is round or square. And it wasn't until the time of Martin Luther that even a crack opened up in that darkness. And Martin Luther's only concern was that it was not the Pope that could give salvation, but it was Yeshua. See, the name of Jesus was not there at this time. The name of J was not added to the English language until about 1612 or 1613. You know, we say it was there in 1611, when the first King James Bible was translated, but they called him Jesus with the iota from the Greek or the Latin with the E-E-S-U-S, Jesus. Some people in the Greek would say Jesus, but we are talking about Latin now. So this is where the church went to. And it wasn't until, you know, I should say 2002 when we converted. But the real truth of Matty, there was other people before us who came into the name of Yeshua. Someone was telling me, who was that? They was telling me that in 1972, a preacher who had a nice-sized church came into the church after he had been trying to get people to accept the name of Yeshua. He came into the church and said, if you will not change to the name of Yeshua, get out. And guess what? Everybody got out. He did the wrong thing. He shouldn't have done that. When I took our pastors, Bishop Mitchell, Bishop Perkins, Dr. Jackson, all of them to Israel, and I revealed to them the name of Yeshua sitting at the top of a veranda, I said to them, I have come into the knowledge that our Lord's name is Yeshua. I have no way around this. I have to accept it and begin to convert the church that I pastor. I said to them, I'm not forcing you to do anything. I'm only saying this is the truth. Bishop Mitchell said, I have known you a long time, and I know you study, and I know you would not even bring up something unless you had studied it out to the nth degree. But I accept what you say, but I will check it out. See, you got to let people come to this. You can't make people believe anything. You got to let them come to it. You got to give people the truth. Now it's in their hand. And now they have to come to the truth. And before I was trying to tell you about knowing someone. And that kind of escaped me a little bit there. See, the devil been fighting all night long. Yeah, he's been fighting all night long. He woke me up at 2:30 this morning. At 2:30 this morning, my TV downstairs came on. Blasting. And I'm upstairs and I know. I said, I know I turned the TV off. I got two different knobs I turned it off. And the TV's just blasting. I said, well, should I go downstairs? And I said, nope. I wasn't afraid, but I said, nope, ain't no sense in going downstairs because I don't know who's down there. And then all of a sudden, boom, the TV goes off. I said, Father, are you trying to give me a message? Is that something you're trying to say to me? You trying to warn me? You know, if you don't want me to talk to you about this, I won't. But he didn't say don't do it because he always says speak the truth. But anyway, say knowing someone on a smaller scale. When you know someone, you know their character. Am I right or wrong? So when all these people left the church, they went out spreading lies, some of them. And one of the things that they spread, how did they put it? That I wanted the women. And so they told, I've served as an international youth leader in another organization for 5 years. And happened they came up to this guy who know me, who served under me, and they told him the story. And he said, nope. That ain't true. He said, that ain't true. I know him. He wouldn't do anything like that. You can't even convince me, because I know him. So when people come running up to you saying, his name is not Yeshua, you have to say, no, that ain't true. I know him. I know him. I know his name. You can't convince me, because I found out through being with him and studying. I know his name. Tell me about it. Fourth verse. I have glorified thee in the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. And now, Father, now, O Father, O is never there in the O. I don't know where that is. That's like English stuff. O, nothing. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. Notice, with thine own self. Because now he's in flesh. Now he wants to go back to where he was in the beginning. With the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now watch this. See, I said they're taking pain to set down the truth. I have manifested thy what? Name. I have made known, manifested. I have made known thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me, and I have kept them through thy word. Now I want you to notice, he's emphasizing two things, the name and the word. Notice, I have made known your name, and they have kept thy word. Now, let's skip over to the 11th verse. I'm just trying to show you the truth. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own, what? Name, these whom thou hast given me. So he says, the way they are kept is through the name. Kept where? Kept from danger. Kept from the enemy destroying them. He says, you have kept them through thy, keep them through thy name. Those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one. As we are one. And we'll hit this area again. But I want you to know, there is but one church. Let me say it again. There is but one church. He said, are you saying that your church is the only church? No. I'm saying there is but one church. There is no Baptist church, Pentecostal church, Methodist church, and I'll go over the other one later. There's only one church, and that's the church of God. That's the church of Yeshua. That's only one church, and I'll show you this later on, maybe next week, not this one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy what? In thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, which was Yehuda, that the scripture may be filled. 16th. Look, I'm going to teach it. Talking. stay here with me and learn. Because the greatest thing you're going to learn is about salvation, that you will know truly you are saved. There ain't no doubt I'm saved. But you know why I know I'm saved? I've done it the Bible way. I haven't fought the Bible way. When I found out that his name was Yeshua, I went back down in the water in Yeshua's name. I've done it the Bible way. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them, set them apart through thy what? Truth. Thy word is truth. Now look at the 26th verse. And I have declared unto them thy what? Why does he keep saying this? I told you that they knew, Yeshua knew, that the true church would be covered one day and be hidden. And he's laying down the truths of what salvation means. And so he keeps telling us certain things. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I'm going to use one more scripture. I'm going to let you. Johannes 14. And then we will finish. We will truly get into it the next week. Here, I'm just having to prepare the way. Sometimes you just got to set up the way. You know what I mean? You have to set up what is going to be that would help people. I told you, Johannes 14. Twelfth verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask. Now look, here's where I came to realize. If all of this is dependent on his name, then I have to get in his name. I mean, that's just simple. I mean, you know, you don't have to be a Phi Beta Kappa to figure this out. And whatsoever you shall ask in my what? Now, when we, you know, you say, well, maybe Jesus. It wasn't even around until 16, 12, or 13. There was no J even in the English language until that time. And some say, who are linguists, say that the J was meant to be a Y. But there was no J in the Hebrew language. So when we say Jesus is an impossible, no man on planet Earth was ever named Jesus. No man. You know, sometimes, you know, you get into Spanish, some people say, well, it is Jesus. No. In the Spanish, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's not Jesus. But there has been no man named Jesus. I'll tell you what you do. If you can find a man named Jesus, then don't go to the Spanish. Because you'll be telling me some stuff that's not true. I'll give you $50 for every time you find a man named Jesus. Now, don't go back to the Bible. I saw it here. No. All this is not true. Find in history any man named Jesus. And everywhere you find it, I'm going to kick in $50 for you. Now, some people are going to go out there looking too, because they're going to think, I stand there somewhere. No, it's not. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask, if you shall ask anything in my name. Now I said, you don't have to be a Phi Beta Kappa to understand it. God didn't try to make this hard. God made this easy. He didn't try to wrap it in all kind of mystery. He made it easy. And I'm going to leave you with this. I need to just go there because I don't want to have to do this next time. Yeshayahu 35. Got it? And let's look at the 8th verse. Well, let's look at the 6th verse. Well, let's go to the 4th. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Be strong. See, you got to be strong in the faith. You got to be strong in the faith. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even Yahweh with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Who opened the eyes of the blind? Yeshua. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart. Who did that? Well, the apostle did that. Epicapha did that in Yeshua's name. Remember? And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall water break out and streams in the desert. It's not talking about natural water. When the scripture is talking about water, it's normally talking about the spirit. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass and reed. To be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there. And the whole idea in the Hebrew, a way, a raised way, like above all of it, it's raised up. And a highway shall be there. And a way. Now remember I told you about Hebrew parallelism? Those two statements are the same thing. A highway shall be there and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. Won't be no sinners in this way. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, the traveling man. Though food shall not err therein. Yahweh didn't make this hard. He said he made it so that even food would not err therein. Now, people who err, they're not even food. Y'all didn't get that, did you? If you err, you don't even come up to a fool. This is plain, my brothers and sisters. Yeah, through the translation, they took something away like the name of Yeshua. But you can't hide this truth forever. And so the question people ask, why did God let that happen? I don't question God, but just on the natural, These are the people that was going to spread out through the world. And they're going to take the Bible with them, even though it's some of it is erroneous. In the end, it's there for the Holy Ghost to use with people who want the truth. So the truth is that Yeshua is the Savior. And the way is fine. Everyone who wants to be saved can be saved without a shadow of a doubt, for the not. Father Yahweh, we come to you.